Yo, 1 2 1 2. What it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve.
And man JT coming at you.
Yes, sir. My main man JT, man. And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we giving it to you for the culture and by the culture.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with you, brother? How you doing, man?
Man, pretty good. You know, just stepping in the role on the show. You know, just about to talk a little hip hop, talk a little noise. You know, do what I normally do, but this time in front of a mic.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, yeah. He's my new tag team partner. So yeah, he gonna be with me all the way, even though he be getting on my nerves. Like I got him. Like
you got
me.
Like what you mean? what that supposed to mean?
Yeah,
like, so I said what I said the first time.
Yeah, man. But shit, man. I'm good. I can't complain. You know, up in here chilling. Shit, nigga, birthday coming up next week. Damn.
How old you gonna be?
36.
That's a good year. I'm about to be 36 this year too.
Yes, sir. Out here looking.
All the 36 years old, you know what I'm saying? You know, live a little older, look a little younger.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Black don't crack, all that.
Man, absolutely, man. We out here working out, drinking water, minding our own fucking business.
Well, I was a personal trainer, so you already know I do is my thing.
Oh, no, yeah, man, absolutely. But, man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Before we get into, you know, to the culture and a lot of the shit that goes on, and before we get into the honorable mention, though, but
look, I'm here for one. I'm here to majorly argue about one topic today. You know what I'm saying? Everything else is gonna be beautiful, but there's one specific topic that we're going there. You feel me? All right, y'all stay tuned.
Yes, absolutely. The motherfucking Montgomery Sweet Tea.
Yeah,
ball.
that look. Hey, you know what? I'm gonna say, you know, there's not too many moments in history where I can say that I was alive to know what it was like when that happened.
Right.
But the sweet tea party, yeah, I know what happened. Like, I'm gonna be able. I can't wait to talk to my kids about this. Like,
yeah, man,
years from
too.
Now, I'm like, boy, this is gonna be one of the funniest days. I need this to be like a black holiday. Like, we need to just come together, like. Like, just for us, and just rewatch the highlights every year.
Look, I'm here for it. I am fucking here for that, like a motherfucker, man. Because I mean, when it went down, boy, it went down.
Man, look, my favorite one the whole time is the young boy. Aquaman.
Aquaman.
What they call him? Scuba Gooden Jr.
Yeah.
My man's dove off. He was part of the crew on. I don't know. Was it a boat or the other side or something? But he literally just dove off, swam. He hits the dock. He lost one shoe in the water. Mm-hmm. in the water, right? But then he gets up on the dock and he says, "You know what? I'm not about to walk around like all just shoeless. So just on one side, and it feels goofy." So he just kicked the whole other shoe off,
right.
And he really just get down to action. Like if you watch him from the beginning to the end, he got busy the whole time. His hands so fast. The boy might have a career or something. Dana White, holla at him.
No, yeah, for real, man. And then all you could hear the lady in the back. He's swimming through that motherfucker. He's swimming through that motherfucker.
Hey, look. Commentary needs to be done by Southern folk all the time.
Yes.
I don't need anybody. Like the way, from beginning to end, there's two greats. There's them, and then there's, what's his name, the king from wrestling. Like Jerry the King.
Jerry King Lawler.
The best announcers in history. Because, man, look, the way the black folks just talk about that, like, he going in on him now. He going in.
Yeah.
Oh, he going in. Look at the girls. Look at the girls. Like, bruh, like, the whole time it's, like, exactly what you thinking, but she's saying it for you.
Exactly, man. That shit was just so fucking hilarious, man. Yeah, them two girls, yeah, they rocked that little white hair.
Bro.
But here's my thing. The cops, when they came...
The cops was...
They were cool!
Hey, look, I was about to say, I don't think y'all really noticed. The cops was really letting them rock. You know what?
Yeah.
The cops wouldn't even got involved like that until Buddy got loose. He thought he was a Dudley boy and just got to popping people with the chair.
He fucked up the whole party.
And look, he really was like, bro, you're doing too much. Like, come on now. Like, they was already, like, peacefully assaulting people. I don't even know if you can do that, but they was peacefully assaulting people. But they was tearing them down, you know what I'm saying? But when it came to doom... Doom. And then them right. first two, they let the first two rock.
They did.
And then he hit the lady. Pow. They was like, all right. They jumped on him immediately. They swarmed him like piranha on like meat. I'm telling you, bruh. And they was there the whole time. Like you right. unless you pay attention, you don't realize how passive the police was in this video. Yeah, like bro. They was low-key cool. I low-key yeah. like Montgomery PD. Like, yeah. You know, I like how they handled it. Like I don't think nothing was outrageous. You know what I mean? They arrested them white folk. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like the black folk kind of kept got away. They said the man with the chair is at large, and I was like, bro, they didn't catch him there, like
right. So you tell me, you let him when the cameras went off, you let him
you
ride.
Let him slide, you right? Let him you slide. Let him slide. It's cool. Yeah. Hey, Montgomery PD, y'all lied with me.
No, right? Yeah, y'all
hey,
sure.
When I come out there, you know what I mean, because I be traveling and everything, I'm good with y'all, like right?
Correct.
You know what I'm saying,
man, fucking correct, man, bro. But that shit was just. When he hit it with the chair, it was like a super party foul. Like, you see the cops like, hey, don't do that. And then when he hit him with the chair, he was like, oh, this nigga, come on,
hey,
man. You
hey, no, because if you really pay attention, like, from the moment that the cops really got there, they didn't really, like, stop. They kind of just moved it around. They scattered it. Right. They just scattered the issue, and it was like, oh, they're fighting over there man. Now. Oh, let us go get to them. Let us go. Oh, they're fighting over there. But then he came through with the chair, and they just swarmed my boy. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Man.
Hey, whoever, hey, chairman, I just want to say, like, two out of the thirds, I feel you. But that last one, you was a little out of line.
That was a party foul, bro. That was a foul.
You ain't have to bop Betty White little sister yeah. like that. You know what I'm saying? you ain't have to do that, bro. You was a little out of pocket. But no, I feel yeah. you though. It was just a little bow.
Bow. You know what like I mean? you had to get your shit off.
The skin wasn't on your side. You know what I mean? You probably wear glasses. They probably flew off at some point in the process. I'm trying to give you be the devil's advocate for you, but you're a little wild. You're a little wild.
No, yeah, absolutely. Well, all right. Since we got that out the way, let's jump into it. Before we get to the commentary for the culture, you know, we always get into the honorable mention where we see great things that people that are doing that's in the culture or not the culture. But other than that, though, it's just really great. And we're going to honor today, this week, is going to be none other than ATL-ian, Ludacris. Donated $50,000 to the Children's Theater of Cincinnati.
50 racks.
Yeah. Ludacris was moved by their performance at the Hard Rock Casino in Cincinnati earlier this month that he gave a five-figure donation to the locals children theater. So the local children theater in Cincinnati, he pledged $50,000 to help to support its $48 million restoration campaign in the Emory Theater. Ludacris said, "I'm drawn to the children's theater in Cincinnati because the plans to develop new works that hits on topics matter to the kids today. The Emory Project signals an incredible opportunity for more kids to access arts and see themselves what happens on stage." And he added, "As a father of four daughters and a philanthropist who's constantly investing in the next generation, I'm honored to be a part of this." That's dope.
I rock with it, Luda. Yeah. Like Luda is one of the rappers from our era that grew up the right way.
Yeah.
You know, he'll never be the same, you know, Luda with the braids to us. But, you know, we kind of grown now. We got kids and everything. We doing, like, responsible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hats off to you, Luda. Once again, clap it up for Luda.
Yeah,
man.
It's got you.
You know what I'm saying?
You,
that's dope. You know what I mean? And my favorite part about it is that, you know, what we see often with rappers is they'll help out their backyard and their backyard only. You know what I'm saying? This is all the way in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, Cincinnati.
This ATL guy that's born in Chicago, raised in ATL, you know what I'm saying, is helping out people in Cincinnati. It's just getting around everywhere. And it's dope to see, you know, spread out and hope different trends like this grow.
Oh, no, yeah, man, absolutely, man. And I just love the fact that, like what you said, man, he's expanding outside of Atlanta, because in Atlanta he got lucrative businesses. Yep. And we already know, like, when you fly in, everybody always say you got to get that Ludacris chicken in the airport. But yeah,
hey man, ATL airport is beautiful. I've yes. traveled through it many times.
Yes.
It is a great place to have a layover because there's plenty to do.
Yes, absolutely, man. Straight up though, man. So Ludacris over here at Lace Rons, man. We definitely salute you, brother.
Salute. Yes, salute. Luda!
All right.
Hey, wait, before we pass on, you know, Luda, what I miss about Luda, right, and what Luda brought to the game, right, is that every album came with a freestyle. And Luda might have some of the best collection, like one of the best collections of just interlude freestyles for a rapper, just messing around. Like, I remember we used to talk about, you got rims in your trucks, man. I got rims in my skates. Like, and the way he was so animated with it, but still dope, kept it hip hop, kept it funny, kept it light and everything, but he was still serious.
Like, now, Luda, yeah, absolutely.
Luda's a very respected barbarian.
Yes, absolutely. And shout out to my boy Skinny from Views from the Seven, when we was talking about Luda. Stand on that with him.
Hey, yeah,
Ludacris started. Yes, Ludacris started this intro shit. Y'all be thinking it was Meek Mill. Y'all forgot. Ludacris had a fire intro to every single album.
Ooh.
Every single album.
See, Luda's are that when it just came to straight intros, it just fire intro. There's riddled ones like this, because I remember every interlude for the Carter One. Walking in, inside, Wayne was in his bag.
Oh yeah,
Wayne was in his bag.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like there's several great collections. But when it comes to just like freestyles that just on top of wax and released on your albums, Luda's top 10 easy.
Hands down, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's that nigga, man. He's definitely that nigga.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
Come on,
J. Cole reveals his hip-hop heroes to Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
So J. Cole was recently on the Kevin Hart show. You know what I'm saying? Check that shit out. It's a pretty dope show, though. But he went on there. He said, I got a whole list of people who the reason why I'm here. Obviously, my North Stars that I look up to, obviously, Pac, Jay, Nas, Eminem, Andre 3000, Lil Wayne are some of the obvious.
Wheezy.
Big Bullets, he said. And he said, I had Royce of 5'9 moments. I had Cannabis moments. I had Boom Boom moments that was fueled by ambition that showed me what was really possible. Like, the names I name are the highest ones. So these people were like, yo, I'm trying to get up there in terms of skills, success, and it all fueled its whole different ballgame. Like a different crop of young superstars and styles. I've been feeling this like a maybe year or two, and I hate to say it because it's almost sound like pandering. Pandering, too. So he went from that and jumping into women's female rap. And he continued to say, I think it's a lot of female rappers, he continued. You always had a little foxy... Lil Foxy Brown, Lil Kim, and could never be more than one almost. It felt like now, it's bro, we're getting moments and moments and moments, and I think it's hard.
It's, and the way he said that, like, he think it's hard, like, it's cool, like, it's dope, because it the female rap movement right now is at a pace that I can't remember in the past, because you got your Glow, Lotto, Nicki, Cardi, Meg. You know, and we can even, those are the mainstream ones. Now we can break it down to the bar conscious ones. We can break it down to the strippers. We can break it down to the trap. We can break it down, like, we can break it down to all that and what the impact is, and woman and female hip hop being its own, not even just a movement, but a force. Like, it's some, like, Cardi B might be have the best longevity for one album ever that I've seen. Like, she gave us what that one album and been riding off it. But her whole fan base is loyal, you know, still popping with that one album, rocking with that one album.
Yeah,
you know
and
what I'm
of
saying?
Course throughout the years, her getting on these features too and doing damages.
Look,
on these features.
Cardi B will cook a feature, bro.
Yeah, man. No,
she will cook a feature.
Yeah, man. But I like it. My only thing is, I just want, you know, the same shine. Like, yo, like, and I remember Cardi saying this. Cardi is like a fucking huge fan of Rhapsody. She loved Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, okay, love Rhapsody, man. Like, I wanna see that bridge. Well, like that bridge, yeah. Like, kind of like how we had, like, from like the mid-90s going into the late 90s and the early 2000s, where everybody was a little bit different. You had the Brad, you had Left Eye, you had Missy, you had Lil' Kim, you had Foxy Brown, fucking the Brat, I mean, Eve. I mean, like it was a plethora of them.
It was. But the movement behind it wasn't the same. And I understand that you like, because I too want more shine on people like what's her name? She just dropped the oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, lady. It'll come to me. Oh, I'm mad about that. But it's what female hip hop is right now, right? And the movement behind it is, you got the Barty Gang, you got the Barbs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure what Meg calls her girls. but you know, these movements are stronger than they've ever been for anybody in hip hop history.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. Like that, you know, people that are committing that hard to it. And I rock with it. You know, because we're talking about these main ones, but you know, I rock with Rhapsody. But you know, I also like Glorilla. You know, Glorilla, Big Glo came in like confident as could be. And it was almost like people laughed at her at first when they was posting about it. You know, but she was like, no, really standing on her confidence. And then when it came to when she took it with the attention, she dropped a fire song. And it's like, hold up, who this?
You're right.
All
right.
And then now the jokes start turning to interest and different things like that. But she had a different machine behind her. You know, she got Yo Gotti worked with Roc Nation. You know, so it's all about the machine behind them. So I believe Rhapsody can get to that. But it's gonna take the right machine behind them to get them everywhere.
Yeah, because
Glo's in Memphis, and I know her lyrics in Vegas.
No, absolutely. Because I mean, I see another one that's on that same wave, but fucking really, really, really doing it to the core is fucking Armani Caesar.
All right.
Yeah. Armani Caesar is just fucking phenomenal of a rapper. So like I see it though, and I'm all like the same way you could listen to Cardi and them. You could listen to fucking City Girls. In that nature, it's all about having that balance.
Well, it's not everybody. See, the thing with the internet now is everybody is available to their specific audiences, and with everybody with their audiences is going to be in a sense about who's the larger group. So the City Girls group has their people. You know, it's still people that's sitting back that we all know the GOAT female rapper is, my GOAT female rapper is Missy. You know what I'm saying? So there's those people that are hardcore to that, you know? But then you got the people that are going to sit back and say that Nicki's a GOAT. But
right.
What Nicki's been able to do is, bruh, like if you really write down what Nicki did, it's like, bro, these, before we just start passing crowns, like, You gotta low key do what Nicki's done, but then the people that you want to pass the crown to, their movement is so convincing.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's in a healthy competitive way, to where in hip hop when too many titans get big and too much happens and bad blood comes around with disses and everything, it can turn left real quick. You know, with the women, we've heard about rumors and XYZ through the years, and we've always seen them keep it classy, maybe throw a couple shots in some songs, you know, but they keep it bars. Like, the women low-key are more hip-hop with beef than the men are.
I
will boldly say that women are low-key more hip-hop with beef than men are.
Yeah.
You know, men nowadays, they get real passive-aggressive. You know, they get to talking in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, bro, you a grown-ass man, my dog. Like, you a grown-ass man, and this is how you choosing to conduct yourself. But at the same time, it's like, when you look at the way the women do it, you know, but then the part that makes it annoying is the crowd, the cult followings, you know, when they start, you know, making wild pages and ill reports.
Right.
And then we're like, bro, now y'all trying to sabotage and everything, and it makes it weird and awkward, so it makes you, like, almost gross to be a part of and see, but You know, when they just keep it bars and rap, it might throw a couple of shots in here, or maybe just like who has the best movement and momentum, and it's fun hip hop, right. You know, antics, and I like that our women are. It's like WNBA and NBA. NBA has a bunch of highlights, but WNBA has so many more fundamentals.
Right. No. Yeah. You know absolutely. What I'm saying?
So that's It's the same way with hip hop. You know, with the male hip hop, it's a whole lot of highlights.
Mm-hmm.
But with female hip hop, when you really listen to it, when you break it down to the different avenues, and I know people are going to start trying to take shots at like a City Girls or different like
right,
that, but they
right,
have a market
right.
for that.
Yeah, no, yeah,
like
they
that
do.
Exists for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you ain't never been into an ATL or a Miami strip club, you're not going to understand. But that may not always be the mood you're in, and that's
right.
cool.
Ooh, yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
but
whatever floats your boat.
I feel like we grown ass men and women getting hateful about people making a different type of music that we don't enjoy.
Right,
and it's weird. But Lady London, that's her name.
Yeah, Lady London.
Lady London. Even her, like she drops. I love Lady London as a rapper because she spits bars.
Yeah,
she spits bars, and that's I'm a bar kind of like.
Yeah,
you can drop a lot of bars. I don't care about. Really, really, what's going on with you? Except for like, okay, I don't care about your record situation. I don't care about your how many followers you have, what your album's done, how many songs. If you can give me enough for me to keep me happy, I can rock with
right.
you. You know, but
right?
You know, I could be a small small town fan or a superstar. You feel me? Like
mm-hmm.
I rock with TMC the Don. I rock with Nipsey Hussle. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
like
you gotta have your balance. Man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You gotta have your balance. Gotta have your balance, man. No, but that's dope, though. I mean, it is what it is. They're here, and the women just gonna keep on thriving.
Yeah.
All right. Next
Very
up.
Very much so.
Yes.
Big Low, Lotto.
Yes.
They got some young ones
all
coming.
Of them.
They even got old girl with the was it Big Scar in New York?
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
Scar. She even got a little lane that kind of popped out. Like I don't think she made. The test is proven right now. If she's going to be long-term, you know, hit us with some more stuff. But it was enough for people to pop up and give it a listen, and people got to give credit to that. You know what I'm saying?
Real.
I feel like we try to give standards to female hip-hop in an unfair fashion that they got to hit the same benchmarks that the men were doing. But men aren't women, and women aren't men. So
right.
what women do, let them be great at it, dog. And when it comes to taking over this movement and being the soundtrack to a lot of the women that we know in the everyday life, like, these girls is doing it.
No, yeah, straight up.
You know what I'm saying? And that's
hip-hop. Straight up.
That's hip-hop. If you don't agree with that, you're a hater.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And hip-hop has haters in it.
Yeah.
That's why we came up with the word hater. Yeah. But, you know, you may be a hater and not know.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe just need to come to terms that you've been a hater. Yeah. The fact that you hate on women a lot. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
And there's those guys out there that are like that. Like,
right.
bro, just... It's cool.
It's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Next up. Bay Area legend. E-40.
Revisits
being rap's first multi-million dollar man. True story. In a recent interview, Bay Area rapper took to Instagram and reposted a clip from No Vultures podcast where Selsky, the host, Lord Rob discussed the historic move back in 1994. E-40 has just signed a $3.5 million deal, my nigga, Selsky said, which after Lord Rob recalled the deal being announced as a defunct in a rap magazine back in 94. E-40 was the first on front of the magazine with a multi-million dollar deal, Lord Rob said. $3 million is normal as fuck now. No rapper wasn't getting money like that. E-40 mentioned in his Instagram and said, first artist / CEO, a multi-million dollar distribution deal. He wrote, I taught people that taught you. Hello.
Hey, I believe every word of that. You know, you can look it up. But the thing about it is that E-40 has never been, if you really listen to his interviews and the way he talks, he's a very intelligent individual. He knows what he's doing. And when it comes to these dollars, I feel like, you know, with his pedigree that he's been illustrating in these bars for many years,
mm-hmm.
He's not the type to be a slouch on bread either, you know, when it comes to money.
Oh, no, yeah,
so,
absolutely. Absolutely, because your favorite rapper, your favorite rapper, both of them said it, and I remember them saying it in the source back in 2016 where they were honoring E-40. Nipsey and Kendrick Lamar said, nigga, E-40 gave us the game.
Yeah, Very much
so. He gave us a game.
So what's different, and which I appreciate so much coming from the West Coast, is that, you know, we honor our greats forever.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
When it comes to a West Coast legend, they're just a they'll get Exhibit gets respect on the West. You know, DJ Quick gets respect on the West. You know, Warren G, you know, rest in peace, Nate Dogg. You know, but I don't feel like on the East that same is always carried out.
Exactly.
Because there's some folks that deserve a whole lot more respect, and they'll get it from the artist, you know, but it's not really in the street. Like, I feel like the West, like the East Coast should look at Busta Rhymes almost like a Snoop. You know, he's a fact. He has those relationships with everybody. He's the big homie. He's always reaching out. He works with everybody. Has a great relationship with business, and he's very much so entertaining. He's an East Coast Snoop, but he's not held at the regard he's supposed to be held at. Right. If you ask me, and if I'm wrong, let me know in the comments. Yeah, you know, send me a message, whatever.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel like Busta is very much so an East Coast Snoop. And his longevity and his impact and love that he receives isn't from the people. Now, when it comes to artists, they honor Busta exactly how he should be. You know, they treat him like a GOAT, very much so like Missy. But both of them in the public, I think that they should be held way higher.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Prime example. Your Barbs, that rah-rah like a dungeon dragon, Busta. Scenario,
yeah,
and I love the fact that you put that same similarity with Busta and Snoop. Here's a fun fact about y'all: Busta and Snoop got nominated for the most Grammys and never won one. Both of them together as artists got nominated 17 times.
I feel like both
17
of them,
times.
I feel like neither one of them truly get the respect for their contribution to the culture.
Yes,
you know, they are. They are architects for eras, you know, stepping outside of box pockets. You know, if you think like a gangster rapper like Snoop making Beautiful, you know what I'm saying? Like that's way out there. You know, also when it comes to Busta Rhymes, when it, the John, when he did with Janet Jackson,
I was gonna make, 'cause that's the lyric.
Sorry, you know what I'm saying? But hey, look, that's what black folks is. We just slide with it. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But the great thing about them and what they're doing is that they are able to go ahead and put their stamp on any sort of art, you know, and by them doing that through history, I feel like they have such a contribution to every chapter of the culture. You know, I feel like Puff gives the same respect, you know?
Right.
Because he has a chapter in every, he has a piece in every chapter of the culture. You know, he was there at some point, some time. He can tell you how something was, you know, and it can go back deeper than that, you know? But it's very much so a respect level for Busta that I don't think he gets.
No, yeah, at all, man. At all, though. But yeah, y'all need to put some respect on E-40's motherfucking name.
E-40, 40 Fontarelli.
Like, for real.
Because like, the slang that came from him, the game that comes from him, you know, just the, very much the same, because in the West Coast, we hold E-40 to that.
Oh, yeah, everybody absolutely. Does. Absolutely. All right, before we get into our Can We Kick It, got a little exclusive for you. It was some Trouble in Paradise.
Mac, you know. Like, niggas don't even be getting on your talk. Normally, us, nigga, at TDE, we take the downfall when niggas' albums ain't coming out, and it's never us holding albums. If niggas want to drop records, niggas drop records. You know what I'm saying? But niggas never going to jump on line and air shit out. But Big Reese, you want to have a convo? Let's have a convo, man. Sound like you don't want to be here, damn near.
No, I never said that. I said I would never do it no other way. Let's go viral since you want to do it. Come on.
Hey, let me start by saying this, though, right here. Hey, T-Real, can you name me 10 Reason songs right now? You from L.A. You a L.A. native. Can you name me 10 Reason songs right now?
No.
Why is that?
I have Mac, no even fucking.
Mac, hold on. Mac, from the team, Mac. Can you name me ten Reason songs?
Of course. Honestly,
name them.
No, it was a funny ass day.
I'm trying to say is, right, even when niggas say niggas came in at weird times, hey, Dave, my nigga, Doc, my nigga, I love them niggas. Dave never wanted us to sign Reason. He called him a substitute teacher.
Get your shit off, Moose.
Doc always said Reason had talent, but it's going to take more than just talent in this game right now, and everybody know that. You talk about weird times. You got Rayvon. Rayvon got motion. Rayvon ain't got an album out, a project out yet. You got Dolce. She got motion. She ain't got an album out.
Niggas is trying to be funny. Wait, hey, Moose, you burnt out.
Let him cook.
Let him cook, bro.
Even when I hear niggas saying features and everything, keep in mind, like, oh, yeah. You could have got an ESTG feature, but what does that do for Reason? Like, what is that going to do for Reason? Like, even when you say you can't get in contact with SZA and all that, like, this, like you didn't have features from everybody, including Q.
Shout out to Q.
I'm just trying to understand it, man.
Shout out to Q. You want to have a conversation or you want to go viral? Which one you want to do? Which one you want to do? Let me know.
Let me know.
You want to have a conversation, or you want to go viral?
Just be consistent.
I'm being consistent. So I'm asking, you want to have a conversation, or you want to go viral? Which one you want
to
do?
I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Okay, man. Bet. All right, bet. A conversation go two ways. It go.
I want to know what happened next. Conversation go two ways. Now what? Nah, but I need to know more of the backstory about what happened.
So what happened was, I guess apparently Reason went on Twitter. He said, "I want to drop music, but my label is holding me back." And I guess word got back to TDE, because the person that was talking was Musa. Musa is like VP of TDE. Mm-hmm. When it got back to him, niggas wasn't happy from what they were saying from that side. Niggas wasn't happy.
Nah, it's I feel not being happy, right? But once again, I say, look, we got to move as a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? What did Musa say that wasn't true? You know, it's sometimes truth hurts. You know what I'm saying? But Rayvon, bro, I routinely go back and listen to Rayvon freestyles. Routinely. Like, the young man has bars. The John Over Feel It in the Air?
Yeah.
Reason ain't got one of those. And I rock with Reason, not to knock Reason. But I'm just saying, like, if you there, develop, my boy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he made a point, like, okay, we can get the ESTG feature, but what does that do for you?
Exactly.
You know, so I'm saying, like, because ESTG got a whole motion, and it's going to be ESTG song that you paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not knocking Reason. I'm just saying, like, at what point was Musa lying? What was Musa capping? Like, all right, right now, all right, just in general fashion, name 10 Reason songs.
I could probably give you maybe like 3.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's and he's still growing. I feel it. You know, it would get there, my boy.
Yeah.
Get there, my boy. I ain't knocking his passion. I'm knocking his execution. You know what I'm saying? Like, first off, you release this on Twitter. I really don't. But you know, it that's entertainment now. That's where you get your voice out. I always struggled with that.
Right.
I always struggle with that because, you know, but maybe he has a real situation that he's worried about over there, you know. TDE don't got Kendrick no more. Maybe something's going on with the walls over there. Maybe they on fire. You know what I'm saying? But we don't know what it is. But I'm saying, like, this execution just don't feel solid. It just don't feel solid the way he went. How you feel?
Yeah. No, yeah. The execution is not it ain't there. It ain't, it ain't. It's like he's like what you said. Reason is like super doped up, but yeah, he is missing something, and he's trying to get over that hump. But if you're gonna get over that hump, I'm all like, man, like you gotta experiment.
Yeah,
you gotta experiment if you want to get over that hump.
And I just don't see him as ready yet. I see him that somebody can do something later, you know. Mm-hmm. He can definitely do something later. But I just don't see him as somebody that's right now releasing, you know, undeniable hits, you know, and that's the game, because he wants the exposure, but I don't know if the reception will be what he wants.
Yeah, and shoot, he got in contact with him. I'm all like, dog, like, go ask for some tips. And for me, I say if anybody asks, I would just ask Q and Kendrick, because you got to look. Kendrick gave us Section 80, but what he saw what the mainstream was doing, he realigned and readjusted, and then he turns back around and give us fucking Good Kid, Mad City.
Listen, Good Kid, Mad City is one of the best moments in hip hop.
Yeah,
you know that was pure. It was pure, and it was such a proud moment for the West because it was hip hop on the West.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That was that's a we gonna clap it up for that moment right there.
Yeah,
because
got to.
Because Good Kid, Mad City was just something like. When you bring up the impact of GKMC, like it was monumental. I remember Kendrick was the undoubted number one guy at that point, and what Drake was doing in hip hop for Kendrick to eclipse that, it had to be crazy. But it was just Kendrick was just for the real. He was just for the real. And if you're from the West and love hip hop, Kendrick was for you. Kendrick is for you.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And then on the flip side, you had Schoolboy Q with Contradictions and Bad Habits, and then he turns around and give us Oxymoron.
Oxymoron was a great moment. You know, that was a great number two album. You know, from a guy that's coming second on the label. You know, sometimes those people around you can't support what you have going on when it comes to hip hop.
Right.
But Q absolutely can support what Kendrick does, and he was a great compliment. I hope something happens to where they can get in the same situation and keep working with each other or something like that.
Oh no! Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, man, absolutely, man. But only thing for Reason, man, he just need to get his shit together, man.
Yeah. You mad, my boy? I dig you mad, but you know, you got to be logical when you mad.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, you have to.
Yeah,
definitely have to.
Well,
all right. It's about that time. Let's get into it. Can I kick it?
Yes,
first up,
classic.
This is a classic.
Classic.
Man, a shoe that ages like wine.
Man, look. And
we're talking about none other than the Nike Cortez. Nike Cortez continued to dominate the sneaker community even after more than 50 years since its first release. Nike offering the latest classic run of sneaker arrives in a black nylon. Yes, happy that they're bringing the nylon versions back. Mesh base tongue with white accents and swooshes, tongue taps, and heel caps returning. Motifs, Nike branded heels on, followed by silver laces. And of course, with the toes resting at the tip of a black and white. Be expecting these Nike Cortez black and white in stores right now at Nike.com. And 9 times out of 10, they're mostly $100.
Mm-hmm.
A smooth $100. And what I like about this sneaker, It's timeless. Like, before we fell in love, like, with Air Jordan, Nike was a predominantly company that dedicated to running shoes. And this right here, this is their baby. Like, their baby of all babies. Yeah. Like, the Nike Cortez.
Yeah, that's smooth.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, Cortezes. And, I mean, we didn't see them throughout history, through movies, but I think the predominantly one that really caught eyes on people is when in Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks put on the white with the red swoosh and the royal blue bottom, them Cortezes, and he was running. Yes, OG sneakerheads is like that. It's like a Cortez staple, a OG shoe that, you know, if you get your hands on it, it'll be dope to have in the collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. But Nike Cortez, man, like them,
bro,
them one of them joints, man.
I had a pair of Nike Cortez. They came up missing because they was that cold, and somebody got me for them. But they were like a tan, navy blue, white, and a chocolate. The swoosh was navy blue. Laces were cold white. You know, white sole. Like it was just beautiful, bro. They was my favorite pair of Nike Cortez ever. I'm gonna try and track these down. Actually, I need another pair of those.
Oh yeah, man. Well, sounds like for me and you, sound like that is a straight up cop. That's a straight up cop.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, man. Y'all go grab y'all a pair, like for real. Mm-hmm. Next up, Adidas.
All day I dream about. All day I.
Stan Smiths. About. Yeah, they doing a collab dedicated to the Simpsons. So they gonna give us a Stan Smith Simpson version with the pair with white leather base with Homer Simpson embossed on the gold on the lateral side, followed by the graphic Homer tongue tabs and other details, include an edge slide midsole outside for a vintage look, highlighting silhouette and the designer portrait of Homer faded into the bushy grass. So if you're interested in these readers of these Adidas Stan Smiths, they're going to be dropping August 18th, and retail is going to be $170. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And if you just see the image on it, you can definitely tell how the social media area has an impact on this pair.
Yeah.
You know, with the meme culture, I believe it's a unique, dope idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely, which ain't bad. It ain't bad at all though, man. But mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of feeling it. So I think it'll be a cop for me. Put the right fit together with that. I can see like some either some smooth little taper pants or some taper jeans. You know, got them high waters. Let them sit up.
I feel it. You know, I'd say dope sneaker, but I'm a pass on them.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah.
But them Cortez cop.
Yeah.
Cortez are cop. Yes.
We're good then. We're one for one.
Yeah. Feel me.
Yeah. All right.
Let's go.
Me and Jay, we had a conversation.
Yeah.
A few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just talking about like, you know, we need to appreciate the mixtape game because.
It was historic.
Historic, and it was mostly the story of our lives, a lot of us,
mm-hmm.
around that time.
Yeah. So
we decided
to
put together, both of us,
uh-huh.
our 10.
Now, there's rules to this, right? There's rules to this top 10 list of your mixtapes, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be ones that you actually played on the regular, mm-hmm. right? Not just, you know, the culture said these. You can only pick one artist one time, so it can't be like a whole list of Lil Wayne or a whole list of J. Cole or anything like that. You can only pick them one time. You have to have 10. All right? All right. Now, this one going to get fun. This was tough to make.
Oh yeah, it really was.
I'm gonna be honest. This was very tough to make.
It really was.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, no, this,
straight up.
It was stressful because it's easy to get to like 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start shuffling.
Yeah.
This one can't make it cuz I listened to this and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I remember this," and then you know, it all says different times, but you know, I remember like each and every one of these mixtapes that I'm gonna let y'all know about is definitely gonna be a moment in my life. I could tell you what was going on. I could tell you about the album, the climate, everything, feel all that. I could tell you what was going on in the community, you know, the culture and everything like from each of these projects. But I think we go back and forth with.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You go ahead. You know, first one and tell me a little something about.
Okay. All right. For me, and I'm going into the R&B bag, so I'm going to dip into that.
Mm.
For me, starting off, man, when that came out, end of 2013,
mm-hmm.
had us in a for real chokehold, and the nigga was just a pure fucking vibe. It's like every time, this was me staying up in Summerlin with my roommate, and every time I put this on, when the chick came through, nigga, it was going down. like going down because the bitches.
It was a soundtrack, my boy.
Yeah,
it was a soundtrack, my boy. Okay,
yeah, and bitches started to fuck with him heavy, even though the Weekend Wave was already set.
Oh wait, don't talk about him. Don't talk about him. Keep it on your guy.
Say
his name. Who is it?
It's none other than Party Next Door.
P&D, baby.
Party Next Door. That mixtape. Welcome to the Party.
Yes. Yeah, I remember the wave on that one. I remember the wave on that one. You know what I'm saying? Like and now that was definitely a moment. I really thought Drake was on some building the best R&B roster I had ever seen. Because I thought he was going there. I really did. You know, right. I saw what he was doing with somebody else, what he was doing with P&D. He still had his R&B back that he could step into, and then he can just rap. I said, bro, if he could rapper in R&B and he builds an R&B team, it's going to be insane.
Yes, absolutely, man.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted Drake to be, that was back early, before Tory Lanez popped off, Mr. Catch a Dime Piece, what you call it? And I wanted him to slide to go over. I thought he was going to create a whole little movement in Canada. I thought Drake was about to collect the Canadian Avengers. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it happened how it happened and how it deserved to happen. You know what I'm saying? But speaking of the what was going up there, you know, OVOXO, my first mixtape is going to be The Weeknd, House of Balloons. Listen. Nobody knew what The Weeknd looked like. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw a video. Mm-hmm. There was no introduction by any. He just appeared.
Out of nowhere.
He was just out of nowhere. He was just there. And you listen to the project and it's like, yo, what is the range that my man was hitting? You know what I'm saying? I know it's a hip hop show, but I know every rap head was bumping, banging, subbing The Weeknd's album. It was smooth. It was about the party. It was about the turn, but the R&B side and the range that hadn't happened in hip hop at that point in time. You know what I'm saying? With the way hadn't happened in a long time. You know, it was like a very awakening type moment to something that can happen, and he went on a what, 3 mixtape run?
Yes.
Yep. Bruh. Nah. What was it? House of Balloons, Thursday, and Echoes of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a mean little run right there. So The Weeknd, salute to you, my boy. You got my number 10 spot.
Oh yeah, man. Absolutely. All right. Next up for me, this had to be like another of his on the little crazy little run that he was going on. And this came out before Ambition came out. And I remember that. And this came out, I'll probably want to say, 4 or 5 months before his second album. Ambition came out. And this mixtape was just fucking phenomenal. Talking about none other than the D.C. native, Wale Forlorn.
Wale Forlorn.
Yes.
That was you talk about the Forlorn tape?
Yeah. With Change very, Up, yeah. Limitless, with Scarface, yeah. Chung Lee.
Yeah.
With fucking Nipsey Hussle, H2O with Janie Ike, man.
Listen. He was doing something real. Like, I remember Wale, you know what, since you said your Wale, I'm gonna go ahead and say mine. But I remember the impact that Wale had at that time, because Wale came in the game and he was running for a little while. He had this whole little lane of this unrepresented sector of the hip hop community that he was just spitting for, you know, and his concepts and you know, between 11-11, Flora, and the mixtape About Nothing, you know, all these different ones. I got one on my list that I'm gonna talk about in a second, but his idea that he put into concept, the ideas that he used in concepts, added a flavor to his projects that's missing in the game today.
Mm-hmm.
He delivered a project.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. And that's why I picked that one. Yeah, that one. I mean, he got some fucking great mixtapes. He do got a lot of bangers in the chamber, though. But that one, that was the one for me.
Speaking of Mr. Wale, he's actually on my list, too.
Damn.
All right. Wale. No, because this one right here, I think that was a... it was a very egoless move.
Mm-hmm.
and it allowed the best type of music to be produced with the people that were at play, and that was Wale Back to the Feature.
Oh yeah,
and we were going again.
Oh yeah,
and again. Like we're not even ranking them right now. You know, I know I said 10 earlier, but we're not even ranking them right now. But Wale Back to the Feature is a top 3 mixtape for me all time. Simply because the concept about it, the hip hop, the beats. Mm-hmm. I am a Ninth Wonder guy, so having Ninth Wonder involved, I remember LRG rolled it out. At the time, I think I had the LRG Sidekick. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it was such a dope moment for hip hop because you brought out so many real spitters and real bar guys to do different concepts. You know. For these songs, and it's not just about, you know, boom bap on a break beat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You actually like putting the whole concepts together, you know, whether it be Warwick Avenue, you know, Tito Santana, the Wale Back to the Feature is a great listen every single time. Every time.
Oh no, yeah, man, absolutely. Like, yeah, that makes it right there, man. Boy. Talking about some memories.
Mm-hmm.
Some great memories with that mixtape.
I still bump it. I bumped it the other day.
Yeah, man. I'm going to have to definitely run that up and run that one back.
Yeah.
All right, next up for me, he was already shaking it up in his hometown city, though. But, I mean, when he dropped this one, it was just all like, who is this nigga? And for me, like, how is he rapping this good? And I'm talking about no other than Kendrick Lamar, the Overly Dedicated mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And I think out of all the hearts that he did, this is my favorite one, the Heart Part 2, when he was rapping over that Roots.
Okay.
And yeah, and then you got HOC, fucking Pussy and Patron.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking mm-hmm. Growing
yeah,
Closer.
Yeah, that was a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
you know, he was definitely is definitely in my list of my favorite mixtapes to listen to, you know. But it's not I didn't throw him in my 10. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
I had something else a little rocking at that time.
No, that's fair. Like he had joints on there, man. Fucking Barbed Wire. I mean, this is like you could hear the passion and the hunger and the hunger in that young man around that time. I'm just all like, damn, bro. Like,
yeah,
that was one of those
you knew Kendrick was coming.
Yeah,
you knew Kendrick was coming. You know, it was never of if it was going to be good, it was going to be how good.
Yeah, you know, that part.
The next one that I got up, I definitely don't feel like he gets enough respect.
Who's that?
He doesn't get enough praise for who he is, and I think he's done more work behind the scenes that we'll never know about due to NDAs and such. But the guy's a certified barbarian. Like, if you put a beat on, he's going to chop it, and he's going to chop it in a very fun way. And he keeps certain styles alive. Like, I believe he's a beautiful blend between, if we were to add two different rappers together, it would be Jadakiss and Ludacris.
Mm.
You know, but in ATL. And this guy is none other than Sahai the Prince. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a fucking good one.
You know, so I'm saying, like, with Sahai, Sahai is such a, he's a fun guy. He tells the truth. And when he raps, it's bars inside of bars inside of bars inside of bars. But it's still all on topic, still flowing how it needs to. And this is Royal Flush 2.
Mm.
Royal Flush 2 was
amazing.
Like, hey, Sahai, hey, look, wherever you at right now, like, whatever you smoking on, whatever you doing right now, just know, hey, your boy right here appreciate your work on that one. I appreciate your work. I dropped it. What, when I'm working out or anything like that, like, that's definitely a go-to. Like, Royal Flush 2 was a certain time because I don't think, like, you ever see like a basketball team or a football team just fumble a player on the team? It's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you got all this talent, you still on the bench? That's how I feel like good music did Sahai. Like,
no,
you,
I agree.
Like, I feel like that Kanye got a couple songs out of him that you know, he got paid, that Sahai got paid on and everything. But what Sahai could do, like, I thought he was a better rapper than Big Sean. I thought he was a better rapper than Pusha T. You know, like I don't even think they were when it comes to bar for bar, they're just chilling with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they're all good rappers. They're all great rappers, you know what I'm saying? Not just good, but great rappers. But Saha was different. And he just I don't know. He seems marketable to me. I don't know. It seems like maybe I don't know. I ain't gonna speculate. I ain't gonna speculate nothing. I'm just saying that the public wanted more Sci-Hi.
Absolutely.
Wanted more of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. No, not bad. Not bad at all. Mm-hmm. Now this one. Woo. I call him Mixtape King of All Kings. And it's like every time when he dropped, he never disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
But when he had dropped this bad motherfucker right here, mm-hmm. and I remember exactly where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Again, back up, stand up in Summerlin. Living good. Living real good.
Mm-hmm. Then went to Bel Air for a little while. Forgot what the block felt like.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
exactly. I'm over there, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's every day.
Oh, you was almost a Republican, my boy. Oh, you tripping.
Exactly.
My man said Whole Foods. I don't care what side of town the city was on. I was still making that ride, either the Mario's or the Hut. I might go to the Hut after this.
Hey, man, looky here. Currency with Alchemist. Cover.
Cool word, cool.
Man. Bro, let me tell y'all, it's 2023 and the fucking replay value on this motherfucker has aged so well.
BBS is one of the best songs Currency ever did. Straight up. This, that, go BBS flow. Plastic Nike Air Tag on your original foes, niggas. Man, look, hey, Currency was in his bag.
Yeah.
Bag. Like, he's always in his bag, but it was a special glow going on Cobra Coop. Like, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Smoke break. That nigga said it's prime time. I miss a girl left on your bitch because she can't find the right mom. This nigga was, he was chopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many tracks, Ventilation. Bro, fucking
like it was really. And you know the only thing that disappointed me about that album and that mixtape?
What?
It was too short.
Yeah, it was.
He was too,
yeah,
in it. And it's a great package for what it is, but what I'm saying is that how great it was, it leaves you wanting more. You actually mad. Like, bro, come on. You was just really getting going, but he really got going from the jump, cuz BBS is the first track.
Exactly.
You know, BBS is the first track, and it just, bro, I spun that. I remember when that dropped, it was that night on that piff. I spun BBS maybe like 15, 20 times before I heard the rest of the mixtape. I was that kind of kid, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, mixtapes was serious.
It was the era.
So, this one, we know, switching lanes, because not everything going to be the quite, you know, the bar conscious or, you know what I'm saying, like that. This one is just the impact of, like, there's nothing you can do. You can't deny this. You can't knock this. It's going to take you back somewhere. You probably know the lyrics to a good quarter of this mixtape, even if you've never heard it. You know, and that's 2 Chainz with True Religion. Look.
The rebrand. Look. The fucking rebrand. The rebranding was crazy.
Listen, 2 Chainz coming out after the whole era is Titty Boy. Play a circle and everything, but 2 Chainz dropping True Religion, bruh. Hey, look, A-Town, I got one. H-Town, I got, bruh, like, bruh, that one, understatement, like, bruh, there's so many bangers on True Religion. It's a, to me, was an instant classic.
Yeah,
it
no,
was an
it
instant
really
classic,
was.
And it was It was a great moment to see Chainz come out from whatever was holding them back, you know, legally or whatever, even with the name switch. Not a lot of people survived that, but he low-key had just, he got better. He got better when he went 2 Chainz, you know what I'm saying? And he was really in his bag. He gave us some great mixtapes. He's giving us some great mixtapes, Codeine Cowboy, True University.
One of my favorites, Free Bass.
Free Bass. You know, all the ones, like, there's so many. There's so many dope 2 Chainz mixtapes. My favorite
and you,
one.
And you know what? My you favorite know, one. You know what, Jay? Religion. And, like, I don't normally tell people this, so, but when I do, they be shocked. Okay, everybody know I'm a Kendrick Lamar stan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my guy.
Yeah, it's almost right, unhealthy sometimes.
But to me, right next under him, and this is my second spot for that, Tag Team is, for me, it's 2 fucking Chainz. Right. 2 fucking Chainz has the greatest comeback and rebranding story ever. And people don't understand. When he dropped Based on a True Story in 2012, this nigga was 36 years old. 36 years old. Like, nigga got dropped from DTP. The whole players, that shit didn't work out. Dropped the name. Went back in the lab. Cooking and cooking. Like what you said, you lose a game, fuck it, you got to go in and readjust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. He readjusted all them years and rebranded himself and came back out as 2 fucking Chainz.
You know, I'm not mad at that. Like, I'm trying to process that. Like, does he have the greatest rebrand in history and the greatest comeback both together? And I would have to say, I think I'd agree with that with Chainz, because, bro, like, you're 36 years old.
And some people got mad at me for me saying it, but I'm going to say it again. Based on a True Story is a fucking classic.
Ooh.
It's a fucking classic. From the intro, Krenak, Dope Peddler, It's Your Birthday. When I die, bury me inside of ceiling door. If I want my for birthday, it's a big booty hole.
Black folks gonna mumble the words if they ain't got them, right? They gonna mumble right. The hell out of it, ain't they? But yes. But I think that, you know what? I can't agree with that it's a classic. I can't say that. It has classic songs on it. You know, and that's, you know, simply because DJ Culture, you know, Big Booty Ho, Birthday, you know what I'm saying?
No Lie.
Like, No Lie, No Lie. That Drake stamp is serious. No Lie was serious.
Nigga.
Right? So it's got some on there. But I don't know if it's a front to back every song. Like, you gotta understand what classics are. Like, Get Rich or Die Trying was an instant classic. You know, absolutely. And that's song for song for song for song for song. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, like, that's it. Classic is a tough title for me to give out. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if I would give that, but I would say I do know that it has classic songs on it, and 2 Chainz has plenty of classic songs. But I don't know if he has a classic project. I even go so far as argue with some people when I say that about Drake, when I say that he doesn't have a classic album. And they say, I can go in a whole different tangent with that. We're going to say that for another episode.
But what I said,
he has,
like,
a beautiful, plenty of classics, a classic album, front to back, top to bottom. Like,
yeah, man. But, and that's the reason why I said, like, when people, they looked at me, they was like, nigga, you like 2 Chainz? Yeah. Yes, nigga, them might, too.
All right, so don't you got that on your list, too?
What, 2 Chainz?
True Religion? Yep.
Yeah.
All right, bet.
No, yeah. All right.
All right, so we got 2 Chainz, True Religion, mm-hmm. You know, and everything. So go ahead and get somebody else, because True Religion made both of our lists.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? 2 Chainz like that.
Yeah, man. This guy was just on a tangible, on a crazy run. Mm-hmm. And I know with this mixtape, it's arguably, possibly, you know, top three. But depending on however order you want to put it, top 3, top 5, top 10. In some people's mixtapes, and some, it could be an all-time in some people's mixtapes, and however you want to rank it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be no other than the Louisiana Man, Lil Wayne. No ceilings. No ceilings. No ceilings. No fucking ceilings.
Hey, hold on, wait.
Come on now.
We just need a moment of silence. Hold on, wait, just. No Ceilings came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Lil Wayne dropped that for fun.
Yes.
You gotta understand the classic that he dropped for fun. Like, you can watch the documentary and everything. He just in there smoking and rapping.
Yes.
Run it back. We're gonna do this. Boop, boop. Run it back. Boop, cut that out. Run it back. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he just freestyled something else on it. And it just, and just like bro, it was
he went.
That was when Wayne was in his in a bag that was so insane. That was the run that Wayne was on. I think Wayne had Jay-Z scared,
and I said it.
Listen, Jay-Z said, was scared. Jay-Z said, what was it? What song was it? He said he had it was a song off Drought 3, but it was an Upgrade You.
When he said
after he listened to that, he had to go take a walk and figure out if he still want to do
this. Yeah, if he still got it.
Because like it's Wayne was a movement unlike any other movement in hip hop.
And that's a fact.
You got to understand,
that's
like
a
you just think about the buzz, but like no, you got to understand he was one of the junior artists signed to a label that everybody left.
Yep.
And he was the only one there.
And he held and that mantle.
He lifted that label to a legendary status because he's the reason Cash Money is legendary. Yeah. Otherwise, they would just fizzled out. They would have just been an album, a record label with some dope ass songs. Mm-hmm. He's the reason that Baby's name is known so synonymous with the South and being across from Master P because it may seem like all the business moves, but he really was just, you know what I'm saying? Like, anyway. And then, but what Wayne did with mixtapes. Like you went No Ceilings, right? I went Dedication too. Dedication too.
I'm
like,
not mad at that
either. Gangsta Grills, you bastards. Like it's the Gangsta Grill era, bro.
Come on,
like,
man.
Like
come
with
on,
drama,
man.
With drama
I'm
was
not
doing,
mad
listen,
at that.
Listen to me. To me, I damn near fight about this. To me, Dedication 2 is the best mixtape ever. Ever.
Ooh,
I don't want to hear nobody.
Ooh,
Dedication 2 is the best mixtape ever. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. What Wayne did with that song. Because when Wayne hopped on your song, it wasn't your song no more.
No. Yeah, it was done.
It would. Like I ever since Georgia Bush, I have never listened to Field Mob and Ludacris. Georgia.
Same thing for me,
Kryptonite. Like, I ain't listened to Purple City All Stars since he dropped
his. And even the little brother joint when he was like, you better call her, man. You better call her. Miss.
Wait, Miss Butter Pecan Caramel, a Southern Belle. She hotter than a summer day in hell. I'm under a spell. Man, like, bro, Wayne was doing. Listen.
I can't even
Wayne's
listen
run.
To the Little Brother like, album like that
like,
no more.
No, I'm telling
of that.
You what. Look, I stopped listening to Getting Some Hair from Shauna after he did his version. You know what I'm saying? I wish somebody. Look, I despise the Gangsta Grill album version of Canon just because there's the mixtape version of Canon.
Yeah.
And he has everybody on there spitting. The Young Boys was going stupid.
Yes.
Like what Wayne did with Dedication 2 can never be replicated and to me is the greatest mixtape ever. Ever recorded. Ever. Ever. I don't care about the artist. Ever. Bro. Ever. Wheezy.
Nah, man. No. I definitely feel that. Definitely feel that, man, on that one.
Uh-huh.
All right. For me, going into this one, they had a little buzz, but when it came to like that early 2014 and they were right underneath Hit-Boy. And when Hit-Boy did this whole mixtape, literally, like, this was a fucking vibe. I don't know if other niggas from the East and South caught on to this, but this mixtape was very West Coast heavy. And I'm talking about no other than Audio Push, Come As You Are.
Yeah, that's, go ahead and talk about that one, my boy.
But no, man, Come As You Are was just, like, a pure fucking vibe with him having... From Nip on there to fucking Wale to Buddy to fucking even they even had a feature from Pharrell and Pharrell don't really pop out like that on mixtapes around that time.
Man.
So with that one, like,
he's expensive
that one was just like a pure fucking vibe to me.
Yeah,
definitely pure fucking vibe, man. But yeah, Come As You Are. What you got, Brody?
So I gotta keep it in the theme of the Gangsta Grills. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you go Wheezy in drama,
okay,
you gotta go Jeezy in drama.
Mm.
Now, when it come to Jeezy, he got some fire mixtapes. But this one I feel like is a very underrated one in his catalog, and one that I would say is his top five, top three, top even top three. The Real is Back.
Yeah, man. No, I'm with you on
listen,
that.
Listen, Jeezy, yeah. Jeezy, The Real is Back was going insane, and he was talking that talk. The beats was crazy. You know what I mean? That's the genre. Win. Like, yeah. Everything that was on that album, like, bro, I mean, on that mixtape, look at me calling the album. You know what I mean? Everything that was on that mixtape, bro, it really was, it was next level when it came to him, but next level when it came to Jeezy. Next level when it came to drama, next level when it came to hip hop, next level when it came to ATL rap. Like, it was just, it's just fire. Like, there's not a song on, there's not a mixtape on my list that's not going to put you in a mood. Straight up.
No, that's a fact. I'm not mad at that. Mm-hmm. Definitely not mad at that. Definitely not, man. All right. Next up for me, he gave us the fucking warm up. And that was crazy.
Ooh.
That was crazy.
Ooh.
But when he dropped this,
ooh,
he set this motherfucker on fire.
Cold World.
We talking about none other than J. Cole.
Cold World.
Friday Night Lights.
Listen. Look. Hey, look. Nobody else can rap on Illmatic. On that Devil in a New Dress, that nobody else can rap on that beat.
Look, man. He had banger after banger after banger after banger after banger.
The Missy and Aaliyah John, Best Friend.
Yes.
And see what was dope with Friday Night Lights, right, is I was in the military at that time. So when Home for the Holidays dropped, bro, that was my theme for every year. Every year I bumped Friday Night Lights. That game, that's in my honorable mentions. This was so difficult to make this list, you know what I'm saying? It's in my honorable.
Well, hey,
mentions,
I put it in there, man. Look, it's justice because, man, like, that mixtape, it was a fucking time for all of us, man. Yeah. Like, literally a fucking time. One of my favorite, man, was, I mean, you get into the list, Villamatic, Home for the Holidays. So, but my favorite on there, man, when he was talking about how the little girl had got raped and stuff. SeaWorld.
Yeah.
How he flipped on that.
The story and the way he was, you know, the sexual assault and everything. And he made that story very real to something that happens in the black community very often. And the it takes courage to record a song like that.
Yes.
You know, and it's not something that everybody else will necessarily step on, but that's why I rock with Cole. You know what I'm saying? Cole is a very for the people kind of star.
Oh, yeah, he really
is.
You know
what
I'm saying?
He really is. 2014 Forest Hills Drive is the greatest album rollout ever. But yes. The way that Cole just illustrates bravery in his music and going to certain topics and everything, I appreciate, because it's not too many people that of his caliber do that.
Right. Absolutely, man. All right, man, it's your go. Who you got?
All right. So we got. Oh, I know what you're going to do. This one right here. See, look. So this is why I don't like social media sometimes, because social media get to clowning people that are greats, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes social media era kind of, like, trained them to react to this person different than what he contributed.
Right.
And it's none other than, are you in that mood yet? Joe Budden. Mood Music 2. Mood Music 2. He was in a bag.
He was in it.
Like, get it popping, dumb out. Like, he was in a bag in a way. Like, I love bars, but you gotta be able to illustrate these bars inside of a song, wrapped up in harmony and melody, and really give it to me to put me in a type of mood, because that's what music is supposed to do. It's supposed to illustrate your passions in your life. You know what I'm saying? So whatever this artist was going through at this time, I was able to feel it the whole time, and Joe Budden's great at that. The Mood Music series is one of the greatest series in mixtape history. You know what I'm saying? 1, 2, 3, and 4, like, it's just there's so many bars. You just pick an album, you know, 4 would Remember the Titans, 2 with Dumb Out, you know, 3, he was really feeling some type of way with what was going on at Def Jam. And you can hear it through his music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Mood Music 2 is the one that I selected. Joe Budden. And I just gotta say, hey, Joey, look, that one right there, you are forever in hip hop history. just for that contribution. You got plenty of other things, but that one, I'm not going to let y'all talk about Pump It Up like that's who he is. Nah, y'all capping. And I'm tired. Y'all capping. Like Joe Budden and what he did with Mood Music, that whole series, bruh, insane.
Oh, yeah. No, fucking insane. No, I'm with you. Mood Music is a fucking, it's a fucking vibe. And yeah, y'all need to start putting more respect on that man's name.
Yes.
Straight up.
Yes. And that's the social media, I'm telling you.
Yeah, man. Yes. All right. Next up for me has to be this one, Change the Game. Because I was already fucking with him with Bullets Ain't Got No Names on it, 1, 2, and 3. I was fucking with him heavy. And I will never forget this. Me and my boys, we literally drove out and stood at that line to fucking get this mixtape. And my fucking boy to this day, he still got it though, but we all chipped in so we could pay that $100 so we could have it. I'm talking about no other than Nipsey Hussle, the Crenshaw mixtape.
Yeah, Crenshaw was serious.
That was serious. Yeah, man. And that was summer of 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, summer of 2012, man.
I got Crenshaw, Mailbox Money, and the John he did with Bino, Pressure.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All the honorable mentions, bro.
Oh, those, yeah. Those oh, no, insane. Yeah. Like, yeah, super
Nip was able to, I listened to Nip all through building my businesses and everything, and he was able to illustrate the transition from street style to business boardroom and really motivate somebody going on that path. And yeah, yeah. Yeah, Nip's in there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's why I picked that because I mean, even that summer, man, remember being out here, that's all I heard at the little functions to get kickbacks around that time when Circle Up was doing all the functions in the city at the parks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, wow, that's an era. He said Circle Up. No, wow. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that was yeah, yeah that was a yeah, fucking era.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out Circle Up.
Yeah, man, no, straight up, fucking was just fucking amazing, bro.
Yeah,
man, that summer was just so live, and then for him to do that, and then Jay-Z buying 10 racks worth of it.
Oh yeah, you know what I'm saying, that
that changed the game.
That was one hustler respecting another hustler, you know, being so bold and being worth it at the same time. You know, that was, and then Jay made a real boss move. That was definitely one of the greatest, a great moment in the Nipsey Hussle story. That was fire.
I know, yeah, absolutely, man. So, yeah, man, that was my pick.
Yeah, so mine is, I think this guy is like, see, the reason I gotta kind of renege on what I said earlier.
Okay.
With 2 Chainz and the greatest comeback. Because I'm going to give it to this guy. You know, I was trying to, y'all can see on the cameras and everything, I was trying to think, you know, trying to really like, who is it going to be? There's got to be somebody else. The only person that I say has a better comeback than 2 Chainz is 50 Cent. And this mixtape, 50 Cent is the Future, was such a bully way of music. Like G-Unit in the house, what, nigga, what? G-Unit in the house, what? Like, G-Unit, like, and then it was so aggressively dope.
Yes.
Like, it was, like, it, like, everything was moving at such a pace that it doesn't matter what you were really looking for when it came to hip hop or a mixtape or a project of this nature. It doesn't matter what you were really looking for because it provided you with so much. You know, Banks was a standout to me from jump. Banks was a standout to me from jump, and it's he was a standout to me from jump, and I was battling between this 50 Cent's The Future and Lloyd Banks' Money in the Bank. So his mixtape because they both give me that same vibe of what it was like. They were just bullying music. You know, G-Unit Radio Part 6, you know what I'm saying? You know, starring Lloyd Banks, you know what I'm saying? That's the one that was hosted by Floyd Mayweather. Like, mm-hmm. it was... And like, really, you really got to know these if you was you was part of the mixtape culture. You understand? G-Unit Radio was something like you just don't ever knock 50 because you may not know the type of numbers he put up. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's like somebody knocking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, bro. Did you ever see him play? Like, he was doing some crazy stuff. Now, his competition wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole different conversation. But 50 Cent of the future, bruh, listen, like the type of... the type of vibe that he came with, and he came in so roguish and hard, and then you know what happened to him, and then he comes back with Get Rich or Die Trying right after, and after Get Rich or Die Trying, he comes back with Beg for Mercy, bro. I'm sorry, I'm gonna give best comeback ever. It's going to be 50 Cent, 2 Chainz. You got number two.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. No, yeah, that's definitely fair. All right, I like that. All right, me. Man, the last one that I put on my list. Now this one, to another one, right after 2012. No, this came out towards the tailwind of 2012, going into that fall era. Cause I remember that niggas was still outside, niggas was functioning, but when this came out, this motherfucker definitely had everybody in the chokehold, and nigga, we was blasting this. Next summer too, 2013. This was summer bangers too. Shit, you liable to play this fucking whole thing at a little barbecue. Mm-hmm. Honestly, come on, straight up. None other than Dom Kennedy, the Yellow Album.
Ooh.
The Yellow Album had motherfuckers in a chokehold.
Gold Eyed Penis is my John too.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, come on.
Yeah, Gold Eyed Penis is my John too, yo. So it's. It's that's a
come
great
come on with the two short girl, I'm just on it.
Yeah,
don't be calling my phone in the morning. I'm at the studio trying to bust it open. Come on, bro, that's that shit.
Like, this is a cool ass album. Like, lace up your chucks and put some food on the grill, kind of music. Bro, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you know what I'm saying? Some house shoes and hoop shorts type shit. You know what I mean? Some white socks. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's a you know, and honestly, like I'm gonna be. I told my boy, shout out to my boy DJ Kilo. He talked to me about Dom Kennedy all the time, right? And I tell him all the time, like, bro, I'm so mad at him for the Yellow Album. And he says, why? And I was like, because you gave me a purity and quality that I don't think you can ever hit again.
Because man.
Yellow Album, like Dom, you was that guy. Yellow Album was a vibe.
That's a fucking classic.
You took over, like Dom, when you dropped Yellow Album for that period that Yellow Album was popping, you took over the culture, my boy.
Y'all niggas was outside around that time.
Man,
trying
look,
to tell
up,
you.
Like it was Dom took over the culture. Like what Larry June's doing now Dom did back then.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that Yellow Album was something serious. Gold Eyed Penis was Gold Eyed Penis still is one of my favorite West Coast tracks.
My nigga.
Still
fucking the track with Kendrick, we ball, bust shots.
Yeah. Hey,
come on, man.
Bro, it was a vibe. It was a vibe.
Whole fucking vibe, bro.
I don't know how you jumped so far ahead in this line, because I got two left. You know what I'm saying? But
no, because one of them, I think we had the same. Was it 2 Chainz? We had the same
2 Chainz. You know what I mean? But I still got two more. So,
oh, okay.
So my other one, you know, like I said already, we can only pick one from each artist. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I probably would have thrown like 3 or 4 of his projects in my top 20. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to what's my favorite project of his, what do I love him for most is bars. You know what I'm saying? But the way he delivers them. But there's a I'm a hip hop guy. You know, the elements of hip hop. You know, and you can tell when it's real, when it's authentic to a beat coming off the top of the head and enjoying the energy that's in the room of the passion and allowing the freestyle. And you can also tell when somebody's just writing and just going over topics and everything, and they're just two in their pocket, and they just, you know, it doesn't sound like it's supposed to. But when it comes to this guy, Fabulous, Friday Night Freestyles.
Yeah, we don't talk about his run enough either.
Look.
The run was fucking crazy.
Fab was one of them ones. I don't, like, there was Jay, there was Wayne, you know, these guys had their charts that was blowing up, but Fab was so consistent and out of the way and doing his own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when it came to mixtapes, what he did with Soul Tape, what he did with There Is No Competition, what he did the Summertime Shootout. Like you gotta understand, you know, like, but with There Is No Competition, he said, "Bitch, I'm raw. So you hear any nigga trying to outpush me, it's the suspect as R. Kelly with Girl Scout cookies." Like, I still, like, bruh, like, I don't even know if it's pushed me. I might have messed that up. But I remember that R. Kelly bar, and that was correct. Facts. Mm-hmm. But when it came to Friday Night Freestyles, that was hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? And this is when the time was, things were getting too repetitive, and something needed to bring it back towards the culture. And what he did with Friday Night Freestyles, man, look, I just, to this day, because it has the Hot 97 freestyles that they ripped off, and he just going back and forth. You know, he got old bars on there with Nori. You know, we got just, look, it just so many bars that Fab dropped in his career. Yes. But Friday Night Freestyles is one of the
ones. No, yeah, man. That was a great fucking pick.
Yeah.
Damn, you did that, bro. All right, well.
And then the last one.
Mm-hmm.
A mood. An era. I'm born and raised in Las Vegas, and I can tell you right now that this mixtape completely took over the city. 100%. Everybody thought they was from the A when it's dropped. Future 56 Nights. When 56 Nights. Oh. When 56 Nights hit. Mino compadre. Like when 56 Nights hit, bruh. With like March Madness had a chokehold on the black community that I can only like equate to the Cha-Cha Slide,
right?
The Gap Band Outstanding,
right?
And Whitney Houston's National Anthem. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just so 56 Nights is up there. Like your grandmama know 56 Nights. Like you might have just said F it and just played around her. You know what I'm saying? Because It really was that fire, and it's just like and what I love is that the video was so pro conscious to what was going on with police brutality,
right?
That he took his opportunity to use the eyes that of the culture that were on him to highlight a major issue, and it let me know like, okay, wait, Future ain't just about, you know what I'm saying, like,
right,
just popping bottles and leaning in different baby mamas and everything. My man's is on some, like, he has a woke bone in his body. You know what I'm saying? So I was able to meet that, and it helped me build my fandom to Future, because I think Future is a Southern GOAT. Like, not the all-time GOAT, but he's one of the GOATs.
Yeah, he's one of the Southern GOATs. Like, especially for this generation.
Future is the Southern Drake.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Everything he dropped went crazy.
Yeah.
Like the run, like, I know you seen the meme with the Kobe pose with all of his mixtapes on it. Like, Future was really like that. Like,
yeah,
he calmed down to be cool and whatever else he do. But the run that he went on, bro, everything that was coming out, Future was hot.
No, yeah, it was crazy.
Fire,
it was crazy.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna recap the list. So you gonna recap your list. All right, I'm going to recap my list, just spit the names and artists so everybody, you know, because this is what they need to go check out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand, you know, if you're trying to do like the Lace Rhymes crew, you know, I'm trying to understand that we're not always about the commercial pop. We're about what the culture was listening to and what it did for us in the culture and the memories and the nostalgia that it brings back and everything, because that's what music is supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So when you get to that point of being able to listen to a project or listen to a song and go back to a certain mood, then you're accomplishing what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
It's not always about clicks. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. All
right. You know what I'm saying? So what you got?
All right. For me, and this is just no particular order, Party Next Door,
mm-hmm,
Welcome to the Party, Wale, mm-hmm, Falarin, Kendrick Lamar, Overly Dedicated, Currency, Cover Coop, Lil Wayne, No Ceilings, Audio Push, Come As You Are, J. Cole, Friday Night Lights, 2 Chainz, True Religion, Nipsey Hussle, Crenshaw, and Dom Kennedy, Yellow Album. What you got, bro?
Bad. So my list over here, I was going to go, all right, we have Wale. This is not in no particular order. This is just saying, like, these is 10 that you're going to be enjoying. I got Wale with Back to the Feature, Weezy with Dedication 2, Fabulous with Friday Night Freestyles, Future with 56 Nights, The Weeknd with House of Balloons, and I know it's not hip-hop, but if you're a hip-hop head, it has elements that you're going to fall in love with. You feel me? We have 2 Chainz with True Religion. True!
Yeah.
Sahai with Royal Flush 2, Joe Budden with Mood Music 2. Are you in that mood yet? You know what I'm saying? Jeezy the Real is back, and 50 Cent with 50 Cent is the future. And I have some honorable mentions that I want to tell people, you know what I'm saying? These are the ones I was wrestling with and everything, but it's going to be Lloyd Banks, Money in the Bank, honorable mention. Currency and Wiz, How Fly, honorable mention. Nipsey, Mailbox Money, honorable mention. We got to mention Weezy, so I just got to talk about Drought 3. Yeah. Got to talk about No Ceilings. It was on his list. Dedication to him, you know what I'm saying? But then also, it was originally supposed to be a mixtape, but then took off and released as an album. And it's the best project to me for Drake. If you're reading this, it's too late.
Absolutely, man. But let us know what y'all think about our list. Like, seriously, go when we drop the episodes, go in the comments and let us know what it's like on this list. So, but man, I enjoyed this with you, bro.
Absolutely.
But like we said, man, we just want to just say thank you for y'all continue to keep on supporting. We was out there Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, you name it, we own it. Yep. Spotify, Apple, Google,
we out there.
SoundCloud, Podbay, Podbean, you name it. Hey, we own it.
It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all.
It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all. It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all. It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all.
Hey, man, this was fun. I definitely want to come back for some more.
Yes.
You know, people, I hope you enjoy yourselves. You know, go ahead and check out these mixtapes. That's what we're doing it for, to advance the culture from the culture. Feel me?
Yeah, so at 10 a.m., this your boy Skeeter Steve.
JT.
Lace Rhymes, we out.